This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Before every shipping season on the Mississippi River, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers dredges parts of the navigation channel to maintain a depth of 9 feet. But all of that dredge material has to go somewhere. And at Lower Pool 4 near Buffalo County in Wisconsin and Wabasha County in Minnesota, the Corps is running out of room. Landowners in the area have expressed their concerns over a proposed plan to convert farmland to storage space for sand, and some are worried their communities will be negatively impacted by the increased traffic. Joining us to talk about these issues and where the plan stands now are Bob Edstrom, project manager for the Corps' Lower Pool 4 Dredge Material Management Plan, Paul Mihajewski, the Corps' Dredge Material Manager, Roland Hall, mayor of Wabasha, Minnesota, and Jane Glander, a resident of Wabasha. First, I want to start by talking a little bit about where is Lower Pool 4? So, Paul, I wonder if you can kind of explain what area we're talking about and, you know, why it's an area that needs yearly attention from the Corps.
Right. The Lower Pool 4 area extends from basically the foot of Lake Pepin, so the Reed's Landing, Minnesota area, down to Alma, Wisconsin, which is where Lock and Dam 4 is. So the Lock and Dam, the water above that particular lock and dam creates what we call a pool. It's an area being held back by the dam. And pool, Lower Pool 4 specifically is, again, from Alma and then going upstream to just past Wabasha into Reed's Landing area. And this is an area that requires annual channel maintenance dredging based on the amount of material that's coming into the system, into the Mississippi River system in that area from the Chippewa River from in Wisconsin. The Chippewa River brings in just under 700,000 cubic yards of sand annually into the river, and a majority of that needs to be dredged out or removed in order to keep the 9-foot channel project open for commercial navigation.
And so where is that dredge material going right now?
Currently, what we've been doing, what we're living in today is a plan that was done in the 80s and 90s where it said basically all the federal agencies and the state agencies got together and based on some prior things that have done with some lawsuits from the state of Wisconsin regarding where the Corps had been placing dredge material historically, basically just putting it on the shorelines wherever we could get to where it was most convenient. Well, we were, unfortunately, back in those days, we were filling wetlands when we were doing that. So during the late 70s, early 80s, a plan called the Great River Environmental Action Team plan got together and said, you know what, filling these wetlands is not the right thing to do. Why don't we designate certain areas along the river where we can put sand? And today is that we are living in the plans that were done in the 80s and 70s and 80s, saying, okay, let's designate these certain areas. And in the Wabasha area, the majority of the sand was stacked up on islands out in the river where we could temporarily hold the sand. We put there until it got full, and then we would have to find a place, an upland area, to take that material off of those islands and put it somewhere upland. And we would try to purchase land in the area to place that material. One area that we were able to purchase in the mid-80s is what we call the Wabasha Gravel Pit. And that had the capacity of about 5 million cubic yards where we could put sand in there. It was an old mine that was owned by the Milwaukee Road Railroad, and the Corps acquired that property. It was about 85-acre abandoned pit that we were able to put our sand in for the prior 30 years that got us to today. Well, unfortunately, that pit is basically full today. So we need to find another place to go with all the sand that we are now generating in that area. And we generate, to keep it round, about 275,000 yards of sand in the Lower Pool 4 annually, Pool 4 area annually.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how do you determine when a site is full?
The prior planning done in the 70s and 80s determined basically how much sand we wanted to put in those pits and what type of elevation we wanted to go to. And working with the city of Wabasha specifically, we agreed upon a elevation that we wanted to fill the Wabasha gravel pit to. And that's where we're at today. Basically, we're at capacity at that site.
And so, Bob, when did the Corps start developing a plan for, you know, what they're going to do next with this dredge material?
Sure. So we need a certain amount of time to plan for dredge material management. Obviously, when our sites fill up, it's too late to start looking for new sites. So we try to get out ahead of these things. We began this process in 2014. Meeting with agency stakeholders and really looking at kind of feedback from them on the viability of sites and methods of disposal or dredge material management moving forward. What we learned is in-water placement is very difficult in this area. Typically, in our more southerly districts for the Corps of Engineers, placing in the water is acceptable. In our district, it is not, and that's a very major constraint. So we have a very active relationship with many of the other environmental agencies that work along side by side with us along the river.
Why is placing it in the water not an option?
I'll look to Paul to help me out with this
Paul.
Explanation a little bit, but basically the states of Minnesota and Wisconsin regulate through the
Clean Water Act, which is a federal policy that the states help enforce, and they're tasked with making sure that we when water it's hard to place material back in the water because there's other alternative places to go with the sand, and creating a new upland area is not something that they fully support doing. We can do that for habitat creation, specifically for creating habitat for critters and the like, but if they're doing it just as a way to manage material, it's frowned upon and not acceptable because there's an alternative place we can put the material. They'd rather get it up out of the floodplain, out of the river itself, and get it up in an upland area. And also, speaking of floodplain, when you place material back in the water, we need to evaluate its flood impacts as well. So when you put sand in the water and you build an island, it holds water back upstream of it, and it causes flooding to FEMA insurable structures upstream. So we have to be very careful about where and how we place sand back in the river. Now, we do it with throughout our district. It's just got to be very select areas and very heavily studied to make sure it's done the right way.
There are some success stories where that's been the case. Island building, where traditionally, historically, there have been islands that can be restored to help environmentally. It's kind of frowned upon to replace one environment completely with another. For example, open water for fish species with a brand new island that isn't part of the historical record.
And so, Rollin, you know, as mayor of the city of Wabasha, you know, when did you first become aware that the Corps was, you know, kind of looking for to the future of where they're going to place this dredge material?
I think I became aware of it several years ago when Paul had a seminar in Wabasha, I'd say 3 or 4 years ago. Maybe it's even been longer than that, Paul.
Yeah, I think so.
And then occasionally the Corps would come to Wabasha and talk about their challenges and their needs and what they have to do. But it wasn't really until May 11th of this year that we got a clear picture of what the Corps proposed, and that was in their draft proposal for the dredge materials.
Yeah, and I definitely want to talk a little bit about that first draft that came out earlier this year. But I wonder if there, you know, when you first became aware of this process, if you had any initial concerns?
Well, not to the level, hope, before May 11th that we did after May 11th. Once we saw a clear picture of what the draft proposal was, there were a lot of immediate and intense concerns, I would say.
Great. Well, I definitely want to hear what those are. But, Bob, I wonder if you can explain a brief overview. Obviously, this is a detailed plan, but just kind of a brief overview of what that first draft proposed.
Sure. So the initial draft worked within the constraints of the federal standard, which is generally identifying the least cost, environmentally acceptable alternative. And looking at that, we vetted several alternatives moving forward, several properties. We used a matrix to try to separate the properties, the upland placement properties we were looking at. So we're really looking at two different uses of land. We need transfer sites to move material off the river, and then we need permanent upland placement sites to permanently store the material. And then looking at lease costs, we look at transportation networks, site access, all kinds of factors, up to and including social cost. And what that kind of gets fleshed out more in our public review period. And we did receive 88 distinct alternatives out of that review period, and upwards of 500 comments. You know, we're very happy to be talking to Jane and Mayor Hall today, because their community really sets the standard on public engagement. And the public review period, which ended in late August, was considered a huge success. We've got an enormous amount of feedback, and the new plan will definitely reflect that.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the future of dredging at Pool 4 on the Mississippi River. We're here with Bob Edstrom, project manager for the Corps' Lower Pool 4 Dredge Material Management Plan, Paul Mahayevsky, dredge material manager for the Corps, Roland Hall, mayor of Wabasha, and Jane Glander, a resident of Wabasha. And so we're talking about the first draft of this dredge material management plan that I know caused a big reaction among many residents in Wabasha and also in Alma, Wisconsin. Jane, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about your initial reaction.
Well, I was first realized things were happening when there was a public meeting December 19th, I believe, in Wabasha. But it was pretty minimal and not really any discussion about pumping or dumping sand in any residential areas or farmland in their area. So the next time I really, after that point, heard anything about it was after the Drysdales and the Fitzgeralds received their notice on or about May 11th. So I'm thinking I maybe heard about it secondhand sometime later that week. My reaction was, of course, unbelievable, because I didn't know anything about it. We abate the property and we're given no notice of this happening.
What were you most concerned about?
Oh, I was concerned about the safety as to where they were thinking of dumping the sand behind my property and leaving it there for decanting. Their proposal looked at about one belly dump truck every 90 seconds coming through my neighborhood, as well as putting an enormous amount of sand behind my property.
Bob, I wonder what your reactions are to these, concerns. I mean, are these, I guess, fair concerns from residents?
Absolutely. They're definitely fair concerns. Part of the public comment period was to try to flesh out these concerns and understand them better. One unique thing about the Southside Fitzgerald site is that it presented an opportunity as a transfer site. We look at hydraulic and mechanical dredging operations and considering sites. And one of the things to understand about the proposal is that we would try to buffer and do things with that site to make it more palatable, and then to try to work with, in terms of operationally, to try to minimize impacts to the residents and the tourism industry and the other concerns we've heard about. I do want to make it clear that as we move forward, we'll be vetting other alternatives and taking a harder look at the social costs and social impacts that came out of the public comment period.
You mentioned taking steps to make it a more palatable decision, as you
sure.
described it.
Yep, yep.
Can you give an example of what that might look like?
So the way we would typically, and this might be a better question for Paul, but basically when we're working on our sites, we try to do berms around them. We try to do plantings and things to kind of obscure them from the public eye.
And Paul. Blend our placement site, the management of material into the community and the local landscape of what we've got in the areas that we're proposing to place our material. We've got numerous placement sites throughout our district where it's within a community but we do berms, like Bob had mentioned, and do like prairie grasses around there and plant trees and try and, again, mimic the area landscape with our sites. And again, it is next to the river, so it's part of being a river community, but we totally understand the impacts that that this would have caused and the concerns. They're very valid concerns, and we're definitely looking at a better way of doing this.
Yeah, Roland, I wonder if you can talk a little bit more about, you know, other concerns that you're hearing from Wabasha residents.
Well, I think as a mayor, you know, you're charged with the health, safety, welfare of your citizens. Another concern is property values and tourism. And Bob, I want to say this. I hope that the Corps, since May 11th, has been very good in communicating with our city. Chad Springer is our city administrator, and he's taken the lead on this and has done a really, really nice job in working with the Corps. Berms are good in the right place, but, you know, berms won't stop. As Jane said, how many a big truck every 90 minutes going in and out of the Fitzgerald South site or the offloading site? So that's our main concern, those trucks going up and down, the noise pollution, going by our school, going in our neighborhoods. These are big concerns. The other thing I do want to mention, and with the Corps' help, other options have been developed. Other places have been identified as a place to put this dredge material. Actually, up for 10 million cubic yards, which, as I understand it, is about a 40-year plan. So tourism, we're a little bit afraid of. Property values going down is something that we're certainly concerned with. But health, safety, welfare, our streets, our roads, the upsetting, you know, the quiet lifestyle that we do have in Wabasha. These would be concerns, Hope.
Roland, do you feel like, you know, you've mentioned that you feel like the Corps has done a good job communicating. Yeah, do you, you know, can you talk a little bit more about how you feel like this process has gone of, you guys voicing your concerns, and do you feel like you're being heard?
Based on the fact that they have met with the city officials several times and with community members several times, I'm much more hopeful today, and I think we all are, than perhaps we were back in May. You know, May was kind of a shocker to us, and we didn't know the Corps people. We didn't know their faces. We had no relationship with them. So I believe that we've come a long, long way, Hope.
Yeah, Paul, what steps has the Corps really taken to make sure that you guys are involving, you know, these local voices?
Right. Well, up to this point, like Roland mentioned a few minutes prior to what he just said, is we've been working with the city, with Roland. Him and I have met on numerous occasions just recently and throughout the years. I think, like you said, Roland, I think it's been 5-6 years, so we've known each other. And whenever we have a project in the area, the city is aware of what we're going on and what we're up to. And I've met with the city council and the planning committee numerous times over this and other projects in the past. But yeah, things changed, obviously, with our release of the report in May. And prior to that, we didn't have a whole lot of specifics that we could share at the time. It was just many different factors on that. But since that came out, that's when for Jane and Roland, for sure, it became real. I mean, it wasn't just vague talking about, we, the Corps, need to manage material in your general area. Well, once we came down to these specific areas that we were looking to manage, then it came real, and I totally understand that. And believe me, we didn't like the results of the plan the way it came out, but those were the constraints that we were working under, and that's the way the plan is because of those. Now we're trying to work within those constraints a little differently now and see if there's some things that can be worked with better, and maybe there's a better solution out there. But we'll continue to meet with Roland and the folks from Buffalo County as well, and the city of Alma, Jim Wilkie over there, the mayor, and Doug Kane from Buffalo County, and Roland and Jane. And we'll continue to look for these other options that were proposed to us. Now, one that Rollin alluded to is that the 10 million yard capacity site that that since May has come, it's been mentioned as a possibility. Now, prior to that, basically we're talking about a gravel mine in an area in Wabasha that we knew there was plans of some continued mining, but not to the extent that has now been made available to us, saying, hey, we're actually going to expand this current pit that's about 25 acres. We're going to expand it to 75 acres. And when we're done, Corps of Engineers, you should be able to put your sand in this pit. And that would be a great help and help manage the material. And it's in an area where this type of activity has been going on. It's just we'll have to figure out how we get the material there. But it might be a solution that I think we'll all be happy with if that's something that comes to fruition. And we'll continue to speak with the locals and keep this plan going.
That's Paul Mahayevsky, dredge material manager for the Army Corps of Engineers, here with us today to talk about issues facing the Corps and residents along the river as they consider the future of dredge material from the Mississippi River. Also joining us is Bob Edstrom from the Corps and Rollin Hall and Jane Glander from the City of Wabasha. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. We're talking about the ways the Corps kind of responded to this, you know, reaction from, you know, Wabasha residents and residents in Alma. And I know part of that was pushing back the period of public comment. You know, Bob, I wonder if you could talk about why the Corps did that.
Why we extended the public comment? We got extensive requests to not only extend the public comment, but also just the idea that there was a lot more to be done in terms of public engagement. I think that's one thing that we would definitely do differently going into the future is just having a better rollout plan and being able to talk with a lot of the landowners face to face. You know, one of the things that we're benefiting from right now, we have a new major general for our division, the Mississippi Valley Division, General Kaiser, who's actually a native of Racine, Wisconsin. He recently met with local stakeholders and community leadership on October 14th. And one of the quotes that we took out of that meeting is that he's committed to finding a better solution. So he's very engaged. We're looking at moving forward on a new plan and a better rollout next time. I got the opportunity to talk to Jane after that meeting, and I think that was one of her primary concerns was the way that the plan was introduced. I will say, to kind of frame this in a different way, it's a supply and demand issue. We have a huge supply of very clean sand and fill material that comes out of the Chippewa River. Most, if not all, dredge operations can't say that they have pristine, clean sand that they're pulling out of the river. Typically, they're pulling out silt and things that have a lot of contaminants. In this case, our material is very clean. We're trying to find uses for it actively all the time. And this certainly was not intended to have the sort of shock value that it did when it was released. But the result of that has been, as Paul kind of touched on before, you know, this interesting reaction where some of our constraints are being relaxed, and some of our some of the things that we have operated under in the past are now subject to policy waivers. For instance, some of our real estate standards. There's new tools being put on our table that we can use, and we're excited about that. You know, we're looking at a lot of the beneficial use and marketing of our material, but that's never really kept up. So we're looking at some of these concepts like future capacity, something we could have never considered before that I think is going to really be the way of the future for managing dredge sand. You know, looking at some of these aggregate pits in the area that have not been mined yet, and being able to be the first to the table to fill those up when they do get emptied out. So that's a huge positive.
Jane,
I think you asked me a minute or two ago, has the Corps been listening? And I think Mr. Edstrom just gave you an example of why I say yes, they have been working with us and listening. So, Bob, I appreciate that.
Thank you, Mayor.
Jane, what do you wish that the Corps had done differently in this rollout?
Number one, communicate with us. I felt like it was thrown at us haphazardly, and I believe they just thought it was going to happen. They had never dealt with Wabasha before, and we're not a community that's going to lay down and play dead and just accept things. So open communication would have been nice, but I have to also say they're listening now, but it's been tough since May 11th on this community and what we've gone through.
I know that, as you mentioned, you know, you're definitely not just letting things happen. I know you guys as a community have really taken some actions. Can you talk about what you guys are doing?
Well, I think specifically...
Jane, go ahead.
Okay, I think specifically in the Southside Fitzgerald area, we've organized... we have 57 homeowners that live on this one-way dead-end street where we would have been affected by Southside Fitzgerald. As soon as this was happening, we organized, we started having meetings, we made plans, we delegated speakers to speak at an open meeting at our public school here in Wabasha. We've emailed, as Bob told you, you know, we received like 500 emails or letters. We were adamant in what we did and sent and, you know, raised the flag to say, hear us, we have some big concerns. It was frustrating to feel like we had to come to the table with plans, when I feel, in honesty, the Corps should have come to us with good plans initially and done some of this homework and research. That our city has been phenomenal. Chad Springer can't be thanked enough, and our city council, for the work and the money they've put into this. Hire attorneys. We shouldn't have been in this position if the plan had been done right the first time and really looked at other solutions in Wabasha.
Paul, I wonder if you have a reaction.
Both our U.S. senators came to the sites that are in question, and they actually got out of the car, walked around, talked to citizens. So we're very appreciative of the involvement and the support that we've had from our legislators.
Paul, do you have a reaction to some of these issues that are being brought up?
They're right on. The communication should have been better and will be better moving forward. We're definitely learning from that. But what I will say is that there are certain constraints that we were under prior to what was released in May that we could and could not speak about publicly. So that led to a lot of what we could and couldn't talk about publicly regarding where our plan was going. So that's why it was released as a draft, saying here is, based on the information that we have collected and the constraints that we're working under, here is our draft plan of where we're proposing to go. We knew it wasn't going to be the final one. That's why it was labeled draft, and we opened it up for the public comment period. And obviously with all the responses, it was extended four times, which I think was pretty unprecedented as far as the public review goes. So, again, they were right on. But, again, there was only so much we could say going in. We did talk in generalities at some public meetings and things prior to that, and noted as soon as September of 2013 that if we're not able to find a place to go with our material, we'll be looking to acquire large tracts of land. And that was noted at one of the meetings and documented in the reports. And you know, again, unfortunately, it doesn't mean anything until you see a line on a piece of paper that identifies the property, and I get that. We knew that. It just, we couldn't come out prior to that. But moving forward, we're hoping that those are some of the rules that will change. We will be able to speak directly about specifics and not speak in generalities.
Hope, I just would like to make a comment that when Paul and Bob talked earlier about, you know, if they use Southside Fitzgerald, which I'm certainly hoping is not going to be the issue, but they talked about placing a berm and making it aesthetically presentable. I live, and 57 residents out here view the river from our backyards. We overlook Southside Fitzgerald. A berm wouldn't make it look enticing or appealing to me. And there wasn't any thought given on the deer, the pelicans, the eagles, the blue herons, all of those animals that also feed on Southside Fitzgerald. Sand would have moved those habitats and creatures out of our view and out of our area, and bald eagles as well.
Jane Glander, a resident of Wabasha, Minnesota, who's taking action against the Corps' proposed plan for dredging at Lower Pool 4, is here with us today to talk about the future of dredge material on the Mississippi River near Alma, Wisconsin, and Wabasha, Minnesota. She's joined by Roland Hall from the City of Wabasha and Bob Edstrom and Paul Mahiewski from the Corps. Coming up, we'll talk about next steps for the Corps and local citizens to address these issues. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about a draft plan from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on how to manage dredged material from the Mississippi River near Alma, Wisconsin, and Wabasha, Minnesota. Every year, the Corps dredges the navigation channel to maintain a clear path for shipping, but they're running out of room at current sites for the sand. Local residents say they're not happy with the plan from the Corps and would be negatively affected by the increased traffic. Joining us to talk about these issues are Bob Edstrom, Project Manager for the Corps' Lower Pool 4 Dredge Material Management Plan, Paul Mahiewski, Dredge Material Manager for the Corps, Roland Hall, Mayor of Wabasha, Minnesota, and Jane Glander, a resident of Wabasha. We've been talking a lot about kind of the issues that, the community in Wabasha are facing. But, Paul, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about concerns that residents of Alma, Wisconsin, and the Wisconsin side have raised.
Yeah, the concerns in Wisconsin were similar, too. It's just the impacts on the local communities and the areas that were identified for material placement and management. We spoke with them as well in generalities that we're looking for areas and are looking for places to put the material in the areas. And again, it became real when we drew a line on a map and said, here is the specific sites we're looking at. The community of Alma is concerned with truck traffic through their community as well. They are right on major Highway 35 through town, so they have a lot of truck traffic the way it is, and with the farmers and whatever commodities, trucks, whatever moving through there, and we would be adding to that. We totally understand that. We'd like to keep that to a minimum, but again, we need to find, as mentioned before, the least costly and environmentally acceptable place to go with the material. So again, it's a concern that we are aware of, and we'll try to minimize that. And if depending on how the planning continues to go on, maybe we'll have an alternative that will, at a minimum, minimize the amount of trucks that would go through the community. And we can look for different ways. If we do need to get material from one side of town to the other, maybe it can stay on barges longer or something, and we can figure that out. We'll see. But yeah, had many contacts with Jim Wilkie, the mayor, and Doug Kane with the Buffalo County Board. So, and we'll continue to do that. We've had numerous meetings with the folks in Wabasha and the community and the county. We will be having some specific meetings with Alma and the Buffalo County coming up here soon. Nothing has been scheduled yet. We need to get our calendars all in line, but we plan to have some one-on-one conversations with them as well regarding areas we're looking at and other alternatives for material management in Wisconsin specifically.
Roland, what conversations have you had with the community in and around Alma?
I have just talked to Mayor Wilkie a bit, and that been very limited, so I would say very limited communication.
I know you guys are working on a Save Our Towns petition together, though.
And that I will give Mayor Wilkie credit for initiating, and I don't know how many petitions were signed and submitted, but Mayor Wilkie worked very, very hard on that.
And what are you hoping to accomplish with that petition?
Well, from my perspective, just to get the attention of the Corps, this isn't our problem. It's not their problem. It's not my problem. It's an our problem. And I think Mayor Wilkie and I feel the best way to work on our problem is to communicate with one another, put the people in position who know what they're talking about. And again, I'll bring up Mr. Chad Springer, who has done an outstanding job in researching and working with this. Paul has been a friend almost for 6 years He's a very easy guy to get to like and to get to know and to get to trust. So with the petition, I believe just in an awareness, develop community involvement, because that's a lot of signatures. And to let the Corps know that there's a lot of people out here that would like a better way.
Bob, earlier you talked about, you know, you are looking at alternative sites, and those changes are already in the works. And so I wonder if you can fill us in a little bit about kind of where that leaves us on the timeline for the plan.
Yeah, absolutely. So with the timeline, we're looking at what will eventually be a substantially revised plan, which will require additional public review. And so we would be looking at a minimum of 30-day public review, more than likely 45 days or 60 days, and give the community ample time to comment. We'd also look at, you know, I discussed earlier a better rollout, basically meeting with the stakeholders and the individual landowners identified ahead of time. One of the unique constraints we have with the federal government is our acquisition process, and we talk a lot about not engaging in negotiations ahead of time. And that's where we can at times get too gun-shy about talking specifically to individual landowners, and I think we're taking a look at being able to do that in a different way. So basically, one of the benefits of the increased exposure and the media attention is the ability to promote our beneficial use sites. The material is out there all the time for individuals to take. You know, we do get a little bit of beneficial use from some of the highway departments and things that we can sort of reliably work into anticipated quantities being taken out of some of our stockpiles. But we do want to promote that the material is always out there, and it's very clean, and it's suitable for many uses.
Like what?
So we've had numerous requests from different industries, silica, frack mining, kind of you name it, even as basic fill. And we've sent out samples to, I don't know, probably 10 or 15 individual folks or companies by now. Do you want to?
Yeah, Paul.
The folks we've sent the samples to, they're analyzing it for their own use somewhere within the silica industry for general fill to anything specific they may have in mind. Historically, the majority of our material that goes towards beneficial use is used by the Departments of Transportation. When building highways, they use that as a general fill. A lot of the local communities, including Wabasha and Alma and Buffalo County, use a lot of our sand for winter road maintenance. They'll bring the sand, mix it with some salt, and they'll place it on the roads for traction in the wintertime. And a lot of another big use in our area now is for cattle bedding. A lot of the farmers use the sand in their stalls for their cattle. It's easy to bring. It's free. You know, they come and load it and take it away, and it's easy to manage. They just shovel it back out when it's no longer usable, and then they spread it on their fields with the manure. So it works well with that. But again, you know, a big thing that we're looking into now is the frackability of the material. I mean, there is frack sand in our dredge material. It just needs to be separated from what's not frackable. So hopefully there's something that will come from that. We've looked into the frackability of our material back in 2012, and the industry back then was a little different. What we've learned is our material is marginal, but there's a lot of it. And that's why it wasn't really popular to be used in that industry back in 2012. But what we're hearing now from folks within the frack industry is that, you know, it's worth the cost to separate the good sand from the frack sand, or the good frack sand versus the sand that they don't need, and maybe there'll be a market for it, and they'll come take it, and then that way it'll replenish the supplies that we've got.
Is that you mentioned that the Corps was looking into kind of the use, you know, the ability to use the sand, but you know, is that really a focus for you guys, or do you feel like it needs to be more of a focus to kind of find a sustainable, you know, solution and an end, you know, goal for the sand?
Yeah, we don't want to put all our eggs in one basket, if you will. So our 40-year plan is going to look at a way to manage 11 million cubic yards. So we will find a home for the 11 million yards, depending on, you know, what the time span that we use. But we'll also investigate these other options. That way it extends the life of the plan. If we don't put 11 million in there, let's say we only put 8 million in there, because 3 million went to another use, then we have more capacity available to us. So again, our base plan will be how we are going to manage 11 million yards over 40 years, or if we shorten the time period. But whatever number we use, any beneficial use comes from that will be kind of like icing on the cake. It'll help prolong the life of the plan. So it's definitely worthwhile proceeding, looking into it.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the future of dredge material at Pool 4 on the Mississippi River. We are here with Paul Mahayevsky, Dredge Material Manager for the Army Corps of Engineers, Bob Edstrom, Project Manager for the Corps' Lower Pool 4 Dredge Material Management Plan, Roland Hall, Mayor of Wabasha, Minnesota, and Jane Glander, a resident of Wabasha who's taken action against proposed plans from the Corps. And so, Roland, you know, what are kind of the next steps for the city of Wabasha? What are you guys looking to do as the Corps kind of, you know, revises this plan?
Well, we are certainly going to be aware of when the revised plan comes out. We'll take a look at it. We'll study it. We'll give feedback. We'll hopefully it'll come out. Wouldn't it be great if it were 100% acceptable? I guess I can hope for that, but realistically, there probably is still going to be some tweaks on the program. In the meantime, we're just staying aware, Hope. Jane's very active, and by the way, has a meeting today, an informational meeting lined up for the community. So we're still alive on it.
Yeah, Jane, what are next steps for you and your group?
Well, we're going to stay vigilant. We're going to be on top of what's happening and make sure the Corps makes us aware of that. And I felt confident having the opportunity to talk to Colonel Sam Calkins as well as General Major Kaiser. They made me feel like they were really sincerely looking at alternative plans and taking our concerns seriously.
And what happens if there are still concerns when this new revised plan comes out?
Well, then we raise the flag again and induce our community to figure out how we're going to strike out to work out a better plan. We're not going to give up until it comes out right.
Paul, is there an urgency to this process right now, given that you mentioned, you know, your current sites are pretty much at capacity?
Right. Where we're at right now is we have a real estate agreement with a local mine in the Wabasha area, and there's roughly 3 years of capacity left in that mine. So that's basically what we're saying is we have 3 years of capacity left, a place for us to bring our dredge material to. Moving forward. So that's why we're saying we've got 3 years left. And so that's why the plan process is going on now. We need to find a home for that. Now that's 3 years based on changing the way we've been doing dredging. The way we've been doing dredging, like I mentioned before, is we would place material on these temporary islands along the river. And then once they get full, we would offload those. The reason we're changing the way we're doing it is because of the expense involved with that double handling. We dredge it from the river, put it on island. Island fills up, step one. Once that island is full, step two is to take that sand off there and move it to another upland place. We're trying to eliminate the double handling. And the way our base plan is costed out right now is what we propose to do would save taxpayer dollars $2 million a year over 40 years versus how we're currently doing it. So that's one of the driving forces we have is the least cost. Again, the federal standard is least cost and environmentally acceptable. So that's a driver. Now, again, we need to factor in the social impacts of those costs and things of other things. And that's what we're definitely learning, and that's what we're doing. But that's kind of the urgency is we basically have 3 years left of capacity of a pit that's available to us right now. One point I do want to make is that the dredging process is done in one of two different ways. It's either mechanically, basically you get a digger on a barge or an excavator, and you dig the sand out, you put it in a barge, and you push it somewhere, and then you take it off that barge. That's called mechanical. The other way we do it is hydraulic. Well, basically it's like a vacuum cleaner on the bottom of the river, and you suck the sand off the bottom, and you stick it through a hose, a pipeline, and it has to go to an upland place. Either way, we need a place for that sand to go. Which method we use in this lower pool floor area is all dependent upon the condition of the channel in order to keep the barges moving and how much time we have to do it. Vacuuming the river bottom, hydraulic dredging is a lot quicker, and we can do more material in a shorter amount of time. But the problem with that one is we need a place close to take that sand. That's why the Southside Fitzgerald was recommended, because the most efficient way for us to keep that channel open is with that hydraulic dredge, and material would go to the Southside Fitzgerald. Now, obviously, we're looking for a different place to go than Southside Fitzgerald and see if we can get it there economically. Another way to do the dredging, like I mentioned, is with the excavators and put it on a barge, and we still need a place for that sand to get to a place where we can get it on trucks and then go to its final resting place. So all these factors have to be brought into play when we decide where we go with the material. But again, back to actually your question, we got about 3 years of capacity left that we can get to right now.
Is there a possibility that, I don't know, does that timeline feel very, does that end goal feel very close, or, you know, is that kind of a stressful situation to be in, or is that enough time?
It's stressful in the fact that, you know, we need to keep commercial navigation going. If the river would close, the truck traffic we would see in all these communities would go up exponentially, because all the product that gets moved on the barges, the corn, the wheat, the salt, the fertilizer, all that would have to be on trucks and trains, which would double, triple, quadruple the amount of time or the amount of traffic in those other modes if the river wasn't available to us. So it's stressful, the fact that we know we need to keep this as a viable option for the farmers and the businessmen in the upper Midwest in order to move their products. If that mode is taken away, then costs go up and for those folks to move their products. So, yeah, it's very stressful in the fact that we need to find a better solution, something that everyone can at least be happy with or understand and be as minimally impactful as we can to move forward with this.
Bob, do you know of other places on the river that are experiencing similar issues?
You know, each district and each stretch of river has its own unique challenges. Like I mentioned earlier, some of the southern districts can place the material back into the river. Here, our channel is very narrow. There are different environmental considerations. I think we have one of the more unique challenges, especially specific to Pool 4, with the way that the Chippewa River comes in just south of Lake Pepin. We do dredge out that delta to try to capture a lot of the sand that settles out of the water table right at that area, but that's dredged every other year on average, and that's a lot of material for any single pool to handle. You know, we appreciate the city of Wabasha. We've worked hand in hand for a long time, historically for generations, long before any of us in this discussion were around, and we'll continue to be, you know, to engage in that in the future. I think what we all kind of benefited from in terms of the Wabasha pit was the low hanging fruit, so to speak. It was a silver bullet. It took 30 years of material by itself. And now we're kind of back to that planning process. Well, you know, that amazing resource is now exhausted. So where do we go from here? And I think that's why we're all, you know, back to the drawing board.
Rollin, what are you hoping to see? I don't know. Are you hoping that maybe everyone will learn from this situation so that when the next 40-year plan rolls around, things will be different?
Hope. I'm hoping you're here in 40 years, but I'm not very hopeful that I will be. I have a feeling that there's some kid out there in the ninth grade who's science, math, and engineering savvy and will be able to figure this out so that we'll be able to, or the Corps and the citizens will be able to work with this indefinitely. One of the questions I hear currently is, what are you going to do after the 40 years? Not from the Corps, I don't hear, but from citizens. Well, if they're going to take it this time, what are they going to take in 40 years? And I'm pretty confident that somebody will have this thing figured out, that the Corps will not have to take land this year that they proposed, and in 40 years, they'll have solved this challenge.
We've been talking with Rollin Hall, mayor of the city of Wabasha in Minnesota, Jane Glander, a Wabasha resident, Bob Edstrom, project manager for the Army Corps of Engineers Lower Pool 4 Dredge Material Management Plan, and Paul Mihayevsky, dredge material manager for the Corps. About the Corps' proposed management plan for sand and other material dredged from the Mississippi River at Lower Pool 4, and how local residents are working to combat potential impacts to their communities. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.